Whether it's audiobooks or all-time greatest hits, long live listening to your favorites. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you.
Love. I know it's a tennis reference. Go with it. Tony Katz, 93 WIBC. Good morning. Coach Carlisle put it on the refs in a big, big way. What's the matter? You don't like these small market teams? Oh, it was a bit ugly. It was a bit ugly considering Carlisle got ejected. He is maybe this is exactly the kick that the in the pants that the Pacers desperately need. Maybe.
You know, one guy just said he didn't double dribble. But it looked to me like, you know, Tibbs went out there and argued it, and they changed it. That's what it looked like, you know. So I can only go by what I see, what I saw, and you know, that's small beans compared to everything else, you know. But you know, small market teams deserve an equal shot. They deserve a fair shot. No matter where they're playing.
Now, I can't tell you if that commentary is going to be taken well, and as in, yep, this is really, really the issue. This is really the story here. This is a problem that the NBA has. Or it's going to be taken as, dude, you're losing to the Knicks. They're a more physical team, and you can't keep up. I'm not sure which way it's going to be taken. But if it gets the Pacers for game three on Friday here in Indianapolis to play hard, not that they haven't been, and to come out with a win, all right. Coaches do what coaches do. How they motivate and how they get guys to respond. I kind of like it. I don't mind a little bit of anger. Some people think it's, you know, oh, you're losing your head. Every now and again, in the right place, at the right moment. Good stuff. Very, very good stuff. I look forward to a Game 3 victory and then getting this back on track. All right, we'll take it in six. Fine by me. I'm in. Tony Katz at 93 WIBC. Good morning.
Whether it's audiobooks or all-time greatest hits, long live listening to your favorites. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you.
Moving to the country, I'm gonna eat a lot of peaches. I'm moving to the country. I'm going to eat me a lot of peaches.
Mike Braun has picked a lieutenant governor. Julie McGuire. And I am not one of the people who is convinced, this may shock some, that Micah Beckwith has it all locked up. Tony Katz, 93 WIBC. Good morning. Julie McGuire, state representative, District 93. Is what she covers. The choice of Mike Braun. They went out and made that news yesterday. The pick for lieutenant governor comes from the delegates at the convention. And usually it is almost a if you will, a fait accompli kind of thing. It's pro forma. The governor says, this is who I want. And then there's the vote and that's it. Micah Beckwith is doing something much different. He's running, campaigning for the job of lieutenant governor. From what I hear, popular with a fair amount of delegates. And I would have said that, you know, I do say that's an interesting way to go about it. I have met Micah twice in my life, maybe three times. We've spoken really, you know, once. That's okay. I don't have to talk to everybody. It's fine. I have no issues with him. He has said things and discusses has discussed some things where I'm like, okay. There have been some things that I'm like, that's not for me. That's true with everybody, by the way. I have nothing bad to say about the guy at all. I'm not totally convinced he's the right guy for lieutenant governor. I'm just not. But I pay attention to how people discuss with me who are much more in the know than I am about how the delegates work and how the convention circuit works, how they're thinking, and that he has been very, very upbeat and very, very focused on these delegates, and he's been doing the work in that regard. And I would have said, well, look at that. But then I saw how Curtis Hill did in this election. In this primary, Curtis Hill came in last. Curtis Hill came behind Jamie Rittenour. And I said, the activist did not come out and vote. The activist did not show up at all. Maybe there are less activists than I imagined. And then you realize that the convention has nothing to do with how an election works. These are the hardcores. These are the people who would show themselves as Hill voters. Maybe these are the Beckwith voters, and maybe he is well on his way, and Braun can't stop that train. Maybe. Now, Beckwith, to his credit, has been, you know, congratulations to Mike Braun. I look forward to building a better Indiana, right? Saying all the right things, keeping it very, very, very clean. I'm curious as to whether it stays that way. If you ask me anecdotally, Micah Beckwith has done a good job in working the delegates and trying to build his future there. But that was all before Braun got the nomination and Braun made a pick in Julie McGuire. We're just moments away from a lieutenant governor debate, aren't we? Which, yeah, that, count me in for moderating that. I think right now that would be some fascinating stuff. Let me move it over to what it is Joe Biden has done. This dangerous man. And the statement regarding support for Israel.
Civilians have been killed in Gaza as a consequence of those bombs and other ways in which they go after population centers. And I made it clear that if they go into Rafah, they haven't gone into Rafah yet. If they go into Rafah, I'm not supplying the weapons that have been used historically to deal with Rafah.
Now, there's a question. First of all, if you've had weapons to deal with Rafah, you understand that Rafah is a dangerous place, and not supporting Israel in solving this problem is saying Israel should continue to take the hits. That's what Joe Biden is saying. Joe Biden is saying that aid is contingent on doing what we want, which people are making very much akin to how you engaged in impeachment of Donald Trump. You impeached Trump because of holding up aid to Ukraine. Others will argue, no, no, no. He made a phone call and said, you should look into so-and-so. And that's what led to the impeachment. He held up aid to Ukraine, and you said, how dare you? Biden holds up aid to Israel, And the political left says, what? What's the problem? What's the big deal? Hold on. We have chanting to do.
Thank you so much. All honor is to these amazing, incredible students. Free, free
Palestine.
Free, free
Palestine.
Free, free
Palestine.
That's Rashida Tlaib, Congresswoman, Michigan, I'm sorry, Gaza, chanting the ever-popular genocidal slogan of free, free Palestine when there is no Palestine. There is nothing to free. There's no Palestine. Doesn't matter how much she says it. Doesn't matter how much she wants it. There is no Palestine. You got to live in the real world. And the real world seems to dictate that Israel is going to make the move. They've already utilized a tank battalion to take over the crossing, the Rafah Gate, which is what connects Gaza with the Sinai Peninsula. That's already taken place. So now the question is, when will they take the full-on approach into Rafah itself? That seems to be imminent. As in, they are going to make this happen, but they are very privately getting out of their heads on what Biden is doing. Infuriated in ways that clearly we're not hearing, we're only getting the tail ends of. But yesterday I shared with you, I think I did this on Tony Katz today, I shared with you a speech that Joe Biden gave because it was Holocaust Remembrance Day. And it was, Joe Biden was so good in the speech, you would have thought this was 20 years ago.
Brutally raped, mutilated, and sexually assaulted. Thousands more carrying wounds, bullets and shrapnel from the memory of that terrible day they endured. Hundreds taken hostage, including survivors of the Shoah. Now, here we are, not 75 years later, but just 7.5 months later. And people are already forgetting. They're already forgetting that Hamas unleashed this terror. It was Hamas that brutalized Israelis. It was Hamas who took and continues to hold hostages.
It was the right speech. It was as clear as we've heard Biden in months, if not years. And then he comes out and says, by the way, I'm not going to send the aid that Congress has said to send. Although they want to make an argument that this isn't part of what Congress approved. As the Associated Press writes, Biden signed off on the pause in an order conveyed last week to the Pentagon, according to U.S. officials who were not authorized to comment on the matter. The White House National Security Council sought to keep the decision out of the public eye for several days until it had a better understanding of the scope of Israel's intensified military operations in Rafah, and until Biden could deliver a long-planned speech on Tuesday to mark Holocaust Remembrance Day. When he gave this speech that I said was well done, he already knew he wasn't going to send the aid to Israel. While he was saying, look at what Hamas did here and what Hamas did there. Look at all the terrible things Hamas has done. He knew he wasn't going to send the aid to finish Hamas once and for all. And why? Because this is a guy who had to keep this base happy.
Thank you so much. All honor is to these amazing, incredible students. Free, free
Palestine.
Free, free
Palestine.
Free, free
Palestine.
It is far worse than we're just giving it credit for right now. And I will break that down deeply at 7:45.
Whether it's audiobooks or all-time greatest hits, long live listening to your favorites. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you.
wandering, chasing a rainbow dream. I often stop and think about a place I've never seen.
Where friendly
today
folks can
on
gather,
the marketplace,
raise the rafters.
Who's got a spare three grand for daddy? In this conversation, I am daddy. Tony Katz, 93 WIBC. Good morning. During the show and during the breaks, getting things together, and I sometimes like to clear my head. I go to Facebook Marketplace, and I look for weirdo, interesting things. Today on the Marketplace, a 1970s Gibson ES-320. That's a guitar, Matt Bear.
Oh, is it? Okay.
It's a guitar.
I thought it was a car.
You thought it was a what?
A car. But...
No. That's something completely different. I'd appreciate it if you'd pay attention.
Well, one you drive and one you play. Right.
One you drive and one you ride. You could say it that way.
I love it.
Depending on how good you are. The case is not included. A non-original hard shell case is included. So you do get the case as well. So the idea, you know, I've got the new studio and how you want to decorate it. I have thought about putting some guitars up. I love the idea of the look. And then I'm like, but I don't play guitar. Certainly, I don't play well. I grew up playing a bass guitar, and I still have my original bass guitar from when I was a kid.
Get it out!
I still have it. It is a white Hohner PJ.
A white Hohner PJ.
Hohner. H-O-H-N-E-R.
H-O-N. Okay. Cool.
PJ, like peanut butter and jelly. It's a Hohner PJ bass. That's what I have. It still has the dent in it from where I dropped it, and I know when it happens. It was never a fancy thing by any stretch of the imagination. I'm looking it up online. You can find it used for $180, right? Not mine. Mine's worth way more, after all. It's like having John Voight's Dodge, right? That's what it's like.
Well, it's got the dent in it, so that gives it.
You're right. That's what makes it authentic.
Yeah, right.
It's the $3,000 price tag. I don't have any way of knowing if that is worth it. But there's a series of guitars that are for sale. Right, like so. Here's a regular Gibson SG Standard. That's $1,000, and then there was a Gretsch acoustic. It was pretty. Gretsch G R E. How do I spell it? G R E T S C H. That's it. That was very cool. So turns out there's a bunch of them. Like this is a 2005 Martin. $3,700. You got to know what you're doing, kids.
Wow.
Yeah, right? $3,700 for a guitar.
Good Lord.
I'm just telling you.
Yeah, that's, what kind of guitar? Is it a bass guitar, lead guitar?
No, it's double. An acoustic guitar.
Oh, acoustic. Okay, not a double.
It's just an acoustic guitar.
Yeah. All right.
I'd want a double. But going to have some beautiful sound. Martin's makes some beautiful pieces. I just have no way of knowing if that is worth it. But it is there. It is on the marketplace. And I just want to remind people that Mother's Day is coming up.
Right.
So you can go to the marketplace, or you can go to a place, like go to one of our sponsors. You can go to PA Jewelers, where all local artists are 10% off. Local jewelry artists, and they've got the jewelry pieces. They're not the sponsor of this segment. I'm just, you know, sharing stuff from our sponsor. You go to Generator Supercenter. I think you can still take advantage of some of the deals they've got going on, I think, till May 12th. Power up for the big race, Generator Supercenter. Who else? I don't know if Brewer Remodeling is having any deals or not, but call them. Right? So you can go to one of our sponsors, or you can get one of these guitars.
Show mom you love her by buying her a hobby.
Right. Right. Mom is bored. Give mom something to do. She'll appreciate it.
Mom doesn't know she's bored. Remind her.
What were you going to get her instead? A vacuum?
A PS.
Right. No?
You said
that's a no? Okay, yeah, that's a no. So either jewelry from PA Jewelers in Brownsburg, right? And 10% off all the local artists, or something from one of our sponsors, or a guitar from the marketplace. It's there. It's available for you. Check it out. Tony Katz, 93 WIBC. Good morning.
I got a picture of a photograph.
very happy to hear that there was a crowd to hear Oshrit Sabag yesterday, a survivor of the Hamas terrorist attacks who was in Indianapolis, to talk about what had happened, to give a first-hand account. First-hand accounts are outrageously important. Tony Katz, 93 WIBC, good morning. Very happy to see that the room was full and people were actually sharing. These things matter. You can either have Rashida Tlaib telling you what's going on, or you can have people who lived it telling you what's going on. Your choice. Meanwhile, Marjorie Taylor Greene actually went forward with trying to oust Speaker Johnson. I don't know what she's doing. I don't know what she's thinking. Fellow members of Congress, they've got choice words for her. For sure.
Moscow Marjorie has clearly gone off the deep end, maybe the result of a space laser. But this type of tantrum is absolutely unacceptable, and it does nothing to further the cause of the conservative movement.
All right. Space lasers, Moscow Marjorie? This is now a thing? Let's just not. Could we not? It would be great if we just did it. She got 11 Republicans to go along with her. She got like 30 some odd Democrats to go along with her. Everybody else said, "Nah, we're not doing this. Thank you. Goodbye." And then her point was, you see, this is the uniparty at play. Even Trump came out to say, you know, I love Marjorie Taylor Greene. She's a fighter. She's great. But we need to focus. We need to focus. And here's the quote, I believe, from Truth Social. I absolutely love Marjorie Taylor Greene. This from Trump. She's got spirit. She's got fight. And I believe she'll be around and on our side for a long time to come. However, right now, Republicans have to be fighting the radical left Democrats and all the damage they have done to our country. With a majority of one, shortly growing to 3 or 4, we're not in a position of voting on a motion to vacate. At some point, we may very well be, but this is not the time. Trump is trying to end the thing. Very much trying to end the thing. Let's just move on. Let's get an election victory, presidential and congressional, and then you'll have a lot of opportunities. Which, of course, is the right course. And not just because we said it here, but it doesn't hurt. Silly, silly, silly stuff. The question of whether or not people are doing the job we sent them there to do should be asked all the time. And that's the vigilance that is needed in order to have a republic. Are the people representing you doing the job that they're supposed to do? And when they don't, you replace them. And I have no issue with replacing them. But I do have an issue with being a dope. And motion to vacate is a dopey position. Not anger with Mike Johnson. Not questioning what's happening. Not putting pressure on the dude. All those things, I hear you. Well, Tony, if you're not willing to do the thing, you're not really serious. I'm dealing in the real world and real politics. You wait till you have a larger majority. You win in November. Your argument is you didn't get anything for the border and you're willing to shut it down. Okay, I hear you. We didn't get anything for the border. We still deal with the issue. Still no movement. I hear you. This isn't about somehow less frustration. I have it in equal measure. It's about how you also win the long term. We're not good at that strategy. I know this because Marjorie Taylor Greene just tried to oust Mike Johnson. We need a strategy conversation. I'll happily get into it with you right now.
Whether it's audiobooks or all-time greatest hits, long live listening to your favorites. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you.
Pacers fall to the Knicks, 130-121. Game 3 will be right here in Indianapolis. Tony Katz, 93 WIBC. Good morning. Can they turn this around? Can they get as physical? Can they change the way they play? Is Rick Carlisle right, who got ejected last night? Are the refs in on this? Big market teams, they get a pass. Small market teams, they get penalized. He said it. Said the words. We'll see if there's a reaction from the NBA. We'll see if there's a reaction from the team. But right here, we continue to have this war over Major League Soccer. I want to say a couple things for the record here, especially when it comes to some of the opinion pieces that I've seen. Opinions happen. Right. They come and they go. And certainly everybody has one. And I give mine every single day. I certainly like to give it based on data, and will admit clearly when I don't have the data. People get angry. Well, Tony, it's clear to see. Well, if I don't have the data to back something up, why would I say a thing? I have no idea if the Indy 11 are able to work with Major League Soccer to let the team take place with Ersal Özdemir as part of an ownership group and at 11 Park, the original site for a stadium that got this tax district, the Indy 11 doing all the work to get the tax district. And then here comes Hogsett at the 11th minute of the 11th hour on the last day saying, nope, we're not going to do it with you. We're going to do it with this group, which according to some of what I read in the IBJ, they're interested, but do they have the group all together and the money all together? I don't know. So while you've got Hogsett bringing soccer executive Tom Glick to meet with the Democratic caucus, you have the Indy 11 adding Chuck Surak to the ownership group. Chuck Surak started Sweetwater Sound out of Fort Wayne, and he sold his share for $1.6 billion. Yeah, it worked out pretty well for Chuck. So now, is this the Indy 11 saying, hey, we've got the money. We've always said we've had the money. It was others, like, I don't know, people who write opinion for the Indy Star saying we don't have the money. As I've said it here, they've always said they have it. I have no idea. I've never looked at the man's checkbook. You see, that's honest. I don't know what the hell the Indy Star is doing, except what it looks like Briggs is doing, the opinion writer over there, is that it looks like Briggs is a guy with a beef, that he's happy to see that the Indy 11 are getting screwed, and he writes these things like, well, the 11 could do this or that, but they just got to suck it up and take it. That might be how it works out, but that's not how we know things are. We don't know how things are. We don't know what's going on the inside. Is Major League Soccer have no interest in the 11 whatsoever? And is that because they got promised something else? Do they actually have the ownership group? Or do they have a, well, if you do this, you do that, then we'll put together an ownership group? Money talks and everything else walks. And the 11 just added a billionaire. No, you added a billionaire from Fort Wayne, which could lead one to ask a question. If Major League Soccer does move forward in Indianapolis without the Indy 11, do the Indy 11 move up to Fort Wayne? Which is not a crazy thought. I've said that out loud. My point to you is that everything's a negotiation until it's not. Everything is up in the air until it's not. But these people speaking with surety, they could be right, but they don't know. And I'm going to say for the record, Briggs sounds like a punk. You don't have to. Hey, here's what I think is going to happen. Here's what I think Ersal Özdemir of the Indy 11 should do. Here's what I think Keystone Group should do. Here's what I think what the mayor should do. That's not the way he's writing it. He's writing it as a Hogsett wins and this guy loses. What's the value in that? And why do you think Hogsett wins? Who trusts this city? You said you were going to work a deal, and then you cut off the negotiation to take this other deal from outsiders. Well, allegedly outsiders, because we don't know if they've got a whole team yet or not, an ownership team. I don't know what's going to go down, but everybody's making their moves. And I still don't know what Democrat and the city county council is going to bring this new tax district up for a vote. So it wouldn't be at the Diamond Chain complex. It would be where the helipad is. Changing the tax district. So therefore, that's where the stadium can be built. I don't know which Democrat is going to bring this forward. Beats me. But that's clearly what Hogsett was trying to get done. I've got Joseph on X saying, soccer is the Tootsie Roll of sports. First of all, you sound like a freak. Secondly, this isn't about soccer. This is about how the city acts. This is about the future of the city. Would you trust to deal with the city again? And certainly, there is billion-dollar intrigue here. So, yeah, you don't like soccer. I didn't ask and don't care. Soccer, and by the way, calling it the Tootsie Roll sports, that's because Tootsie Rolls, as everyone knows, are disgusting. And if you want the Tootsie Roll of sports, that's a good question. What is the Tootsie Roll of sports? Oh, we're going to have to work on that. But it's not soccer. Soccer's pretty great. Tony Katz, 93 WIBC. Good morning.
Whether it's audiobooks or all-time greatest hits, long live listening to your favorites. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you.
Plenty of Joe Biden content, especially when it comes to the clear lie he was telling people on Holocaust Remembrance Day while he was planning to tell Israel to just take the punishment until you die. Tony Katz, 93 WIBC. Good morning. I will get to that. But first, let's talk about what he thinks about you. The popcorn moment. Let's go. Let's go. Let's go. Let's go. It's the story you need to hear to believe, then grab your popcorn because there is more. The very obvious nature of the Biden administration right now is re-election focused. And they can look at the polling like we do, and certainly you never believe just one poll. But clearly we've seen enough to know that America is not happy with him. America doesn't trust him on the border. America doesn't trust him on foreign policy. America doesn't trust him on the economy. They don't. And for good reason. The Biden administration wants to keep telling you how everything is fine and everything is great and the economy's doing well. And there's a whole surreal conversation from Jared Bernstein. I don't know if you've ever heard it. I don't know if I have it. If I don't, I'll get it to you. Where Jared Bernstein, who heads up Biden's economic team, is trying to explain about how money works. And somebody's like, well, why don't we just print the money? Why are we always borrowing money? Why don't we just print the money instead? I don't know if you've ever heard this. It's criminally insane. Listen.
Why do we borrow our own currency in the first place?
Like you said, they print the dollar. So why does the government even borrow?
Well, some of this stuff gets some of the language that some of the language and concepts are just confusing. I mean, the government definitely prints money and it definitely lends that money, which is why the government definitely prints money and then it lends that money by selling bonds. Is that what they do? They sell bonds. Yeah, they sell bonds, right? Because they sell bonds and people buy the bonds and lend them the money. Yeah, so a lot of times, at least to my ear with MMT, the language and the concepts can be kind of unnecessarily confusing, but there is no question that the government prints money and then it uses that money to... I guess I can't really talk, I don't get it. I don't know what they're talking about, like, because it's like the government clearly prints money. It does it all the time, and it clearly borrows. Otherwise, we wouldn't be having this debt and deficit conversation. So I don't think there's anything confusing there.
That's the guy who heads up Biden's economic team. Would you trust him? Would you trust anybody in this administration on the economy? Of course not. But never forget, the key to their economic policy is hating the small business owner, hating business, and blaming business for everything.
What about, I mean, but there's real pain. I mean, grocery prices are up 30%, more than 30%. Since the beginning of the pandemic, and people are spending more on food and groceries than they have at any time really in the past 30 years. I mean, that's a real day-to-day pain that people
feel. It really is, and it's real. But the fact is that if you take a look at what the people have, they have the money to spend. It angers them and angers me that you have to spend more. For example, the whole idea of this notion that Senator Casey talked about, shrinkflation. I think, you know, it's on your
same program. Price for a smaller bottle of juice.
Well,
or something.
For example, Snickers bar, they did a thing, and it's like 20% less for the same price. That's corporate greed. That's corporate greed, and we've got to deal with it. And that's what I'm working on.
My God, there's less, and it costs more, but it has nothing to do with his economic policy. It's just a greedy corporation. That's a lot of deflection. There is no trust, and he refuses to recognize his own failings, the administration's own failings. It's always everybody else's fault. That's not leadership. Recognizing, hey, we tried something, it didn't work, we're going to make a pivot here and there. And some people, they're always like, oh, I knew it from the beginning. Ah, don't worry about those people. It's the theory of, you know, run fast and break things. You know, is it omission versus commission? Meaning you purposely try to do things. And if they don't work, you recognize it and you move on. But don't be afraid to do things because you fear it might not work. The Biden team won't admit to the fact that their policies, their theories, their spending aren't working. You now have this alleged pressure on Jerome Powell, chairman of the Federal Reserve, to bring down interest rates, which will keep inflation high. And the answer is, well, those greedy companies, they're giving us less of a Snickers bar. The election cannot come soon enough. And oh, by the way, it's not just this. Wait for it at 7:40.
Whether it's audiobooks or all-time greatest hits, long live listening to your favorites. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you.
Five. All right, Matt Bear, take a breath for a second, because I don't think we're going to leave this just yet. Right now, it's 61 degrees in the American Standard Cooling Weather Center. The time is 7:36. No need to play anything else there, producer Carl. Carl behind the board, Kurt Darling and Ryan Hedrick in the WIBC newsroom, and, of course, Matt Bear in the WIBC Traffic Center. You can cut the music. Yeah, there, Carl. Be done with that. We don't need the theme anymore. Matt is covering what sounds like the end of the world, traffic-wise, with some pretty massive delays. And I want to go back over this with you, Matt, if you've got a second even to breathe, because you threw a tremendous amount at us. And I'm having trouble following it all. I don't know how everybody else is doing, So if we're going to talk about the top three spots that are an issue causing the delays, what exactly are we looking at?
Okay, and I'm glad you brought this up because it's a little inside ball for the audience. This is a hard one to get out on the air because we have three interstates in play, all with a 65, 865, 65, and 465, okay? Now, the incident, all these incidents we're talking about and the delays are on the northwest side. The actual vehicle fire that's causing this traffic is northbound 65, like you're heading up to Lebanon. It's after the 865 interchange blocking two left lanes. Earlier, that was closed. It reopened with these two left lanes blocked, which does us virtually no good as far as travel times go. Because you have two interstates merging at this vehicle fire point. People trying to get off to Whitestown Parkway. That whole area is just a perfect storm, like this epicenter of a traffic mess right now. This northbound 65 heading up to Lebanon is stopped all the way past the 465 ramps to West 56th Street. That is a delay time of 2 hours, 114 minutes. Now, further...
Whoa. 2 hours?
2 hours. 114 minutes is my latest calculation, and I'm not doing the math. I have computers that do this, but...
I trust you there.
But also that ramp going from northbound 465 to 65 is now backed up. But anyways, okay. So you have northbound 65 stopped from West 56th Street up to the 865 ramps. The other interstate, Tony, is this little slither on the northwest side. A interstate specially built to get to Lebanon, say from Zionsville or Carmel. It is westbound 865, all right? And that is now stopped halfway through, which is called around Cooper Road. So that is going to be stopped going west into that 465 interchange where the vehicle fire is just north of that. So that stopped traffic and delay time there is running 68 minutes. Normally, you could use that as a reroute. This is not normally. That's a huge delay time, which is why I'm advising everybody now. And this changes. You know, traffic is fluid here, and these delay times get worse. The delays back up further and further. Exit early on northbound 65 from northbound 65 to Lafayette Road. That is the salvation right now. Then you can take that all the way up to Whitestown Parkway as it turns into Indianapolis Road. That's the way to go here at the moment.
Right, and it's going to turn into Indianapolis Road right as you get to where 865 would come in. And that's going to get filled up soon enough if it's not already. This is the triangle of disaster.
Oh, yeah, that's a good way to put it. Yeah, it's the Indianapolis triangle.
Right, 65, 465, and 865. That is a lot. Matt will have updates on the fives throughout the morning as this continues. I just want to make sure we heard it all correctly. This is some rough stuff. Find another way. Do not lose your minds. Do not get too angry. Roll down the windows. Smoke them if you got them. And we'll get you through it to the best of our ability. Follow Matt on Twitter, on X, at Matt in Traffic for updates. Tony Katz, 93 WIBC. Good morning.
Damn this traffic jam. How I hate to be late. It hurts my motor to go so slow. Damn, this traffic jam. Time to get home, my supper will be cold.
The meek of auction at the fairgrounds begins tomorrow, but your tickets are available right now. Tony Katz, 93 WIBC. Good morning. I've got two tickets to the Meekum auction, and they are yours for the fourth caller, 317-239-9393. That's caller number four, 317-239-9393. Two tickets to the Meekum auction starts tomorrow, runs through the 18th. There are, I have found some things that I'm interested in. Shh, don't tell anybody I know. I have found some things. Found some things. I might go buy in for a second time. You never know. Probably not, but you never, ever know. Call in, get your tickets to the Meekum auction, 317-239-9393. I stated earlier that I would share with you that what Joe Biden is doing here is not only dangerous, but he is the danger. We're not in a place where I'm willing, as I am with most everything, to have a debate on a subject that is clear. Joe Biden wants to play both sides of a fence to appease his political base for an election. I can prove this with this commentary, this interview he did with CNN yesterday, talking about refusing to send the weaponry to Israel.
Civilians have been killed in Gaza as a consequence of those bombs and other ways in which they go after population centers. And I made it clear that if they go into Rafah, they haven't gone into Rafah yet. If they go into Rafah, I'm not supplying the weapons that have been used historically to deal with Rafah, to deal with the cities, to deal with that problem. We're going to continue to make sure Israel is secure in terms of Iron Dome and their ability to respond to attacks like came out of the Middle East recently. But it's just wrong. We're not going to supply the weapons and the artillery shells used that have been used.
Artillery shells as well.
Yeah, artillery shells.
Joe Biden has this interview, makes this declaration the day after he gave a speech on Holocaust Remembrance Day, saying that people have already forgotten what happened on October 7th. Hamas killed people. Hamas raped women. Hamas did this. Hamas did that. And they're already forgetting. He delayed this announcement until he gave that speech because Joe Biden is a duplicitous and disgusting man. Joe Biden is making this statement because his political party is dominated by the people who do this.
Thank you so much. All honor is to these amazing, incredible students. Free, free
Palestine.
Free, free
Palestine.
Free, free
Palestine.
That's Representative Rashida Tlaib, proudly engaged in a chant for genocide. There is no genocide of the Palestinians. The population has only grown over the years. It's a lie. And Joe Biden waited till he gave a speech where he claims to say Hamas is the enemy to then announce that he will support Hamas. Well, what else could this possibly be? If Israel isn't going into Rafah, Hamas has the chance to regroup and rebuild and recruit. This is the end of Hamas when you go into Rafah and you cut off the head and then the rest of it. Hamas picked the battle, Hamas picked the battlefield, and this is a war, and war is hell. And Joe Biden picked a side, and that side is Hamas. That's what he did. And as I stated, I'm not debating. What is there to debate? Joe Biden, so desperate to get the votes of progressives that he sold himself. This claim that he supports Israel, this claim that he's been protective of Israel, is nonsense. But none of this is about Israel. This is where the lie is. This is about us. Because what Joe Biden said is a threat not to Israel per se, but to Western civilization as a whole. This is about you. Siding with Rashida Tlaib, siding with radical calls to genocide on college campuses, never mind other places, siding with not putting an end to a terrorist organization supported by a terrorist state, Iran. The weakness that it shows, the failure of leadership that it shows, the emboldening of those who want to do us harm that it provides. The danger is to all of us. When I state to you that Joe Biden has clearly made himself the enemy in league with the enemy, there is not a doubt. So stop doubting it. Stop doubting it. Any Democrat, any Republican, any independent, any moderate, any libertarian, any Jew, any Christian, any Muslim, anyone who is part of the free and thinking world, who still thinks they can vote for Joe Biden, is out of their head. Trump is this, Trump is that, Trump is the other. This guy has sided not only with the enemy of Israel, but with the enemy of humanity. This guy wants to write the death prescription for the West. I don't think he should be given any more time in power.
Whether it's audiobooks or all-time greatest hits, long live listening to your favorites. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you.
Marjorie Taylor Greene shot her shot, tried to make it happen, tried to get rid of Speaker Mike Johnson. The votes were not there. Only 11 Republican votes, something like 30 Democratic votes. Johnson remains, and her own party has words for the Republican from Georgia.
Moscow Marjorie has clearly gone off the deep end, maybe the result of a space laser. But this type of tantrum is absolutely unacceptable, and it does nothing to further the cause of the conservative movement.
Moscow Marjorie? That's a new one for me. The space lasers, okay, all right. But Moscow Marjorie is, admittedly, a first. Meanwhile, Joe Biden stating that Israel will not get aid if they go into Rafah, but if you don't go into Rafah, you can't take out Hamas. So this is Joe Biden protecting and supporting a terrorist organization. That's the legacy of Biden. That's the legacy of today's political left. It is worse than anything Donald Trump has ever done. You can't say that, but I did, and I'm right. So, you know, let's fight about it. 317-239-9393. I'll take the questions. Come on. He's siding with terrorists. All Trump did was have a little freaky deaky with a porn star. Then there's the whole conversation about whether or not this is impeachable. Well, you impeach Trump for holding up aid to Ukraine. Why can't you impeach Biden for holding up aid to Israel? Well, you see, he wasn't just holding up aid to Ukraine. He made a phone call asking for investigations. Otherwise, the aid wouldn't come. But the aid did eventually get there. Can't say that's going to be the case here. That might be a distinction without a difference. It might be a distinction. But whether or not you consider it impeachable, certainly the rational mind would admit that it is indefensible. And I will tell you that I have reached out to members of Congress asking for censure or whatever the appropriate terminology is when dealing with a president. This can't stand. Joe Biden, this isn't Israel. This is about us. This is about us as Americans. Joe Biden is standing with terrorists. That is what he's doing. And if you don't believe me, watch the college kids at Columbia and Indiana University and all across the place cheering this kind of move. And then you'll say to yourself, oh, yeah, I guess he is standing with terrorists. Now, we should also be clear that it is totally unfair to take a look at any college age student right now and say, oh, therefore they're lost. Right. They're all like this. They're not all like this. The vast majority of students want nothing to do with this nonsense. The vast majority are not even paying attention. They're not interested. They don't care. Which is you could argue a touch problematic, but it is really meant to discuss the fact that this is a small minority that's just very, very loud. Don't get me wrong. They still have to be stopped. If you're trying to keep people based on religion or sex or race from walking down the street, you have to be stopped with water hoses if needed. The National Guard, if necessary, you have to be stopped. But the idea that every single 23-year-old is in league with what we're seeing at Columbia or NYU or the Fashion Institute of Technology, which growing up, by the way, and I maybe this was only in my house and certainly in a friend group my parents kept. The Fashion Institute of Technology is where you went in New York to learn how to be a properly dressed hooker. Like that was always the conversation, which is weird. How many people actually discuss the Fashion Institute of Technology? Yet I can tell you, it came up in conversations, not repeatedly, but enough that I remembered. They're protesting. Fantastic. Got to be in on it. It's not all. And that's worth remembering. Oh, and the Pacers lost to the Knicks, and Coach Carlisle got ejected, and he's not happy. Game 3, Indianapolis on Friday. If you don't already have your ticket, I don't know what to tell you. Tony Katz, 93 WIBC. Good morning.
Whether it's audiobooks or all-time greatest hits, long live listening to your favorites. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you.
Genders actually have something in common. And it's that if the room is hot, we think it's hot. If the room is cold, we think it's cold. We're not so different. There's usually this ridiculous fight that takes place. This silly stereotype about everyone's cold or everyone's hot, or this women are cold and men are hot, or vice versa, it's a fight over the thermostat. I always thought the whole thing was weird. If you're cold, put on a sweater. If I'm hot, I can't take off my skin. That's just a logical argument. That's all there is to it. If it's hot, I'm going to turn down the air conditioning. If it's too cold, you can wear a sweater. No matter who you are, Tony Katz, 93 WIBC, good morning. And I've heard tale of women getting upset by this. And I said, oh, that's why those women are not in my life. I'm pretty sure that's exactly what I said. So prior studies, anecdotal evidence suggested that women on average feel colder when living or working in a room at typical ambient temperatures than men. But researchers involved in a new study noted that there's not actual research that gives that basis. So these people, it's in the Proceedings of the National Academy of Sciences, that's their paper. They describe experiments they conducted with both male and female volunteers in climate-controlled rooms. So they took 16 women and 12 men, and they did a whole bunch of tests. Then they sat in a room for 5 hours, and researchers changed the temperature over short intervals of time. So the clothing was chosen by the researchers. Temperatures went between 63 degrees and 88 degrees Fahrenheit, not Celsius, because they'd all be dead. And then as temperatures changed, volunteers were asked if they were feeling chilly or not. They were monitored for shivering. And they look at the data, and the research team found a very little in the way of gender differences. They were cold at the same time. They were hot at the same time. So now you got to ask yourself, is this whole thing about temperature is nothing more than a power struggle? That's all it is. It's a way to try and dominate another person. I work at a certain temperature. I do like it cold. And if that's not for you, we should not work together. But the idea that it's the patriarchy, yeah, you might want to put that on a shelf. Now, there are going to be some women who are upset with me. Let me say for the record, first, the email is tony@tonykatz.com. Secondly, do not send nudes. And third, be upset with me. You have an office. You can set it to any temperature you like. If it's not comfortable for me, I'll leave. But the idea that temperature is patriarchy has always been insane. Put on a sweater. Next. Now, anecdotally, you could say, hey, I know these people, these women who work in a workplace, and they've always got a blanket and they've always got a heater on. Okay. Fine by me. Go ahead. But if they did the study and they found very little difference. Now, something that is happening that is very strange is not only the resignation of Miss USA, but the resignation of Miss Teen USA. What in the world is going on with these pageant folks? Why is there an issue? Well, according to the New York Post, they're tired of being bullied by the organization's CEO. Bullied? So you had Noella Voigt, V-O-I-G-T. She is the first title holder in history to voluntarily step down, as opposed to others who were told to step down. And then you had Miss Teen USA, who's out of New Jersey, how you doing, step away as well. All because, what is the toxic atmosphere is a serious concern. There is an urgent need for intervention at the leadership level. I know nothing of the pageant world. But this is interesting, right? I mean, there is a lot of politics in that space, for sure. But two resignations? That is probably enough to work your way towards getting somebody fired, right? Somebody's going to have to go. I'm fascinated by the story, and I would love to know the details. Would absolutely love to know what's happening here and what the bullying is. What is the actual issue with this CEO? Layla Rose, who, according to sources, is trying to play puppet master. Okay. I think it's a fascinating story. I don't know. It moves me to think that, you know, when they talk about bullying and two people resign, what exactly are they referring to? And there have been other issues. Did you know that there was a Miss USA named Chesley Christ, K-R-Y-S-T. She killed herself in 2022. I don't recall that story at all. She jumped out of an apartment. That's good. What is actually happening in these things? What level of pressure is there? Has it changed over the years? This will become America's next obsession. That is happening.
Whether it's audiobooks or all-time greatest hits, long live listening to your favorites. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you.
How bad is it?
Don't sugarcoat it. Give it to me straight.
Want coffee?
I think I need some coffee.
Time to fill up on the news. Tony Katz, 93 WIBC. Good morning. Good to be with you. Dow futures down 82. NASDAQ futures down 24. Crude oil up just a touch, 79 on the West Texas Intermediate and 84 on the Brent crude. Still lower than where it was A week or so ago. Some arguing that China is looking to get back into actual production. And if that's the case, there's going to be a demand for oil. China has not been manufacturing what it used to manufacture because of their nonsensical lockdowns because of COVID. And people have been moving production out of China because, well, who can trust China? But if they're going to try and ramp back up, you might see oil prices go up. You've got the 10-year Treasury note at 4.49. It was 4.51 just really moments ago. It has come down. There is reporting that the weekly jobless claims are up to 231,000. That could have done it. The 30-year fixed at 7.35%. So that's just a little bit of market. The question before us is, does the market really see the idea of rate decreases, rate cuts? The Bank of England has held their interest rates. It was a 7-2 vote from the Monetary Policy Committee to maintain rates at the current level, and they're saying that a cut in June depends on incoming data. I am curious as to whether this Federal Reserve will do the same. That's all they have ever signaled. That's all they've ever said, that they plan on doing the same. They're going to hold the rates. They're going to beat back this inflation. But then they started signaling through Jerome Powell, chairman of the Federal Reserve, which makes you wonder whether or not they're getting pressure from the Biden administration. So is the market just waiting for this to happen? Is the market just gearing up for what might come this week or next? Cutting interest rates would be a nutty idea. Now, the world is crazy. As we know, we do not have to be. I say this often, people. Why? Because it is true. And it's why we bring you the TK, Tony Katz. That's me, by the way. The Tony Katz Thursday Music Moment presented by Killadent. Killadentremoval.com. That's where you find them. You got the hail damage or you got the door dings. Whatever it is that's going on with your car, killadentremoval.com is there to take care of it. The hail damage, the paintless dent removal, the door ding repair, mobile dent repair. That's right. They will come to you. And I've had friends use the service. Very, very happy. Killadentremoval.com. Give them a call and get the dents gone in your car. They sponsor the TK, the Tony Katz Thursday Music Moment. The world is crazy. We don't have to be. So what we do is we take a moment, we roll down the windows in the car. I know it's a little humid out, but go with it. We step away from the madness. We grab our coffee, whatever it is we're drinking. I'm not here to judge. And we just like take a couple minutes to get our bearings, get our heads straight. And then we go back to the fight, as we should. So I went to 1973. I went to the classic because the classic is good. The classic is valuable. The classic is Marvin Gaye. Hit it. God, if I could sing like that just once. Just to be able to make that happen just once. Oh, that would be a complete life. Marvin Gaye, that is good work. The full list of songs from the TK, Tony Katz, Thursday Music Moment is available at WIBC.com. There is a halt that is taking place. A halt on Sriracha.
My God! Okay, it's happening. Everybody stay calm.
What's the procedure, everyone? What's the procedure?
Stay calm!
It's a Sriracha shortage because of drought, according to the Washington Post. Tony Katz, 93 WIBC. Good morning. Oh, full disclosure, not a Sriracha fan. Sometimes it's in there mixed with other things, like, all right, but it's not my flavor. But I get that it is wildly, wildly popular. They're having an issue getting some peppers. The crop of red jalapeno peppers are just not the right shade to produce the proper sauce. After reevaluating our supply of chili, we have determined that it is too green to proceed with production as it is affecting the color of the product. Unfortunately, all orders that have been scheduled beginning on May 6th will be canceled and the status changed to pending. So if there's Sriracha on the shelves, be sure to fight old ladies for it. I'm talking about throwing an elbow, maybe punching them right in the baby maker. Do what you got to do. Get the Sriracha while you can. Immediately, if not sooner. And Mike Braun, he has selected State Representative Julie McGuire as his running mate. So this is interesting. And it's interesting because Micah Beckwith is running on his own, if you will, to be lieutenant governor. That's not a normal thing to do. It's not that it can't be done. It's not even that he shouldn't do it. It's a very different approach. The lieutenant governor in Indiana actually has a profile. They have a series of things that they're in charge of, including presiding over the Senate, I believe it is, and they actually engage in signing off on the legislation that is passed by the Senate and then sending over to the governor's desk. So the lieutenant governor in the state of Indiana has the opportunity to wield power. Now, usually that lieutenant governor is picked by the governor, and so therefore everybody's working in concert, something that I'm sure Suzanne Crouch regrets right now. I've only met Micah Beckwith a couple of times. I'm not sold on him as lieutenant governor. I'm not necessarily opposed to him as lieutenant governor. I don't know Julie McGuire from a hole in the head. I don't know if I'm sold on her or not either. What I do know is that we're not talking about the electorate. We're talking about the delegates. This is very different stuff. Very different stuff. So I'm curious as to how this plays out. I'm curious to see if this changes the minds of delegates, people. I mean, from what I know, Beckwith has been really working that scene, and rightfully so. I'm curious if there's going to be a real fight here, and I'm curious if there's going to be a debate. And if there is, I want to moderate that mother. Just putting it out there. That would be fun.
Whether it's audiobooks or all-time greatest hits, long live listening to your favorites. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you.